you place this morning, Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, and I do appreciate you being here this morning. I look around, I see some folk missing, so do have a chance this week. You get a chance, you call them and let them know you missed them. I like what Brother James said this morning about calling and using cards. Everybody likes to get something in the mail that does not have a window in it. Some of y'all will get to that after a while. I like to get mail that looks like it's just really for me, you know. And I will not mention this dear sweet lady's name in this church this morning, but every time that I'm having a really bad day or I'm having a really rough week, or on the rare occasions that I'm really sick, I always count on about Wednesday there's going to be a card in my mailbox. And it means a lot, it really does. And it really makes a difference when those little things like it come along. It really does make a difference. All right, Matthew chapter 5. Look down with me. Let's begin reading in verse number 13. I want to read these few verses right here. But Christ is talking here to his disciples and to those that are around listening, and he's trying to give them an object lesson, something that they can relate to, something that will help them. We look like we're doing okay, Laura. Amen. Well, y'all praise Brother Pete. He has agreed to try to fix the sound system, so if it don't work from now on, it's his fault. I told him. He said, I'll look at it, preacher. I don't know if I can do anything with it or not. I said, somebody do something with it because I'm done working on it. I've done tinkered with it all. I'm going to tinker with it, all right? Look at verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Let me try to explain this just a little bit right here. Don't run this rabbit too far. In old timey days, you know salt, we take salt for granted. But salt was one of the primary spices, the way you spice food, it still is. Say amen right there. If you can't have salt, I feel sorry for you. But anyway, but salt will lose its ability to be salty. And what Christ is telling the disciples here, he said, you're supposed to be salty. You're supposed to enhance. You're supposed to make things better. He said, if you get to the point where you're not being effective or you're not making things better, then you're good for nothing to be cast out, trodden underfoot. And what they did in Bible days was when salt had lost its savor, they would literally put it on the floor at a height. They didn't have floors in the houses like we do, the dirt floor, and dirt outside, and they would put that salt down because salt, when it comes in contact with the ground, does what? It becomes moist, and it would keep the dust down. So that's what they would basically, we would sprinkle the yard to keep the dust down. I used to live on dirt road back in the old days when they thought everything was all right and wouldn't nothing hurt you. They'd put burnt motor oil on the road to keep the dust down, and that's what the way to keep the dust down. And my daddy devised a thing with a 55-gallon barrel and a sprinkling system on it to keep the dust down on our driveway at times because it just gets so dusty. And where we would use water to keep the dust down, they would use salt to keep the dust down. So what Jesus is saying here, he says, if it come a point you're no good for what I need you for, you're really no good for nothing. Just be thrown outside and be cast under people's feet. That's bad, ain't it? I mean, that's a bad thought. That's a bad indictment. But I see a lot of Christians is just that way. They've lost their saltiness. They've lost their effect. They're no longer really good for what Jesus wants to use them for. So really, they've been cast under the feet of men. That's a bad place to be, isn't it? Look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, we are the light of the world. We're the best light and the only light that this world's got. Now, if you got a light, you don't put that light. We tell our children, sing a little song, hide it under a bushel. No, let the devil blow it out. No, don't let your light so shine. Don't hide your light. Don't put it under a bucket. Don't put it in a bag. Don't hide it under the table. Leave your light out where to do somebody some good. And a light that is placed up high is better than a light that's placed down low. Amen. If these lights that are on this ceiling were on the floor today, they wouldn't help you a bit in the world about being able to see what's going on. But they're up high because that's where they give out the most light at. Why do they have street lights? Do they give the light on the street? They don't put the light on the sidewalks, down on in the curbs, in the gutters. They put the lights up high. We are the light of the world. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, And we think about candlestick, we think, well, the candlestick, that's to part your light. No, he's talking about what we would consider to be a lampstand or a candelabra. That's a big word, ain't it? Don't ask me to spell it. But anyway, you want that light, you want that candle extended up high, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your... Read it real good with me here. Let's read this together. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for your word. Now, Lord, please allow me to say everything that ought to be said and not say anything today that should not be said. What you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now you say, oh, Dad's going to talk about works, going to talk about things we ought to be doing. Well, I didn't say it. The Bible said it. All I did was read it. It said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you for what... No, that ain't what it said, is it? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, every time you do something good, y'all just give God the glory for it. Amen. People brag on you. Give God the glory for it. I've said that before. It's a lot of preachers. A lot of times a lot of times people want to be kind. They don't really mean it, but a lot of times people really mean it. And they say, that message helped me. I really needed that today. That encouraged my heart. I've tried my best to work in my life and say, well, to God be the glory. That God might be magnified. I don't ever want... Sometimes I'll just say, thank you, you're very kind. But I don't ever want to think that and pile it upon me and say, boy, ain't I some kind of preacher. Because then my light just went out right then. But if that light shines and people see my good works and I glorify God in what I'm doing in my life, guess what? That light's going to shine. By the way, the church ought to be bright and shiny. Amen. What's happened up here is we've had a common thing with old-timey fluorescent lights, the ballast is burnt out. And I'm not going to give you a lesson on what little bit I know about fluorescent lighting, but if that ballast burns out, it sits up there, it'll start smelling, it'll start smoking, but guess what? It won't put out any light. And a lot of Christians are that way. Their ballast is burned out, they don't do nothing but stink, and they put up a lot of smoke signals, but they're not putting out any light. That's a bad way to be, isn't it? Now, I want to talk to you this morning on a different thought, a little bit along those lines about being on a hill and being a light, and that's about the cost of going up higher with God. Now, I think most people sit here today would say, I want to get higher with God. I want to be closer to God. I want to be more in the will of God than I am right now. And I see a lot of people that just seem to be satisfied where they are, and oftentimes I'll make this statement, and it's probably not a good habit to be in, but it's the way I feel. It's my heart. And from what I've seen over the years, I'll say my wife sometimes, those folk are as good as they'll probably ever be. Now, I know that's looking at them with man's eyes, but the reality of it is, if you watch people for years and years and years, and you see no growth, and you see no growth, see no saltiness, and you see no light, then they're probably doing about all they'll ever do. Now, isn't that sad? You ever seen a little house somewhere and it just seemed like an old house abandoned begin to fall in? A little house I've been riding by for years like that. I saw the little lady that lived there. She passed away many years ago now. I rode by there today and they put a nice outside vinyl outside on it, replaced the windows and doors, and I thought, my, what a change. You see, what was once seen to be useless to man is now somebody's going to get some use out of that. I'm glad that God can take a useless Christian and make them useful again. Amen. Now, at the camp meeting this week, the theme was higher ground. And they was using that military term of seeking out higher ground in a time of battle. As a Christian, we ought to desire to attain a higher ground. But going up higher is going to require cost. You know, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to be willing to pay the price. I think a lot of people said, I've done all I'm going to do and I'm not paying anymore. And I think a lot of times about what Brother Bill Pickle said when they built the new auditorium there at Calvary Hill, and they done such, God allowed them to do such a great work there and such beautiful facilities, and just amazing me every time I go in there because I saw it before. Amen. I saw the glory of the former temple and I see the glory of the temple now, and it just amazes me when I see what God has done. And I preached up there one time after they first opened, and I just got awestruck. I just said, I cannot believe what God has done here. But Brother Bill said this. I said, man, this is beautiful. I rejoice with you over what God has done. Notice I didn't say what he had done. I rejoice with you over what God has done. He said, I'm thankful too, brother. He said, but it's coming to high cost. And he wasn't talking about the financial, the dollars and cents. He was talking about the cost that it cost his family. He's talking about the way the devil has attacked his family because he was willing to go up higher with God to do something that the community said couldn't be done. To trust God to do something that the world said wouldn't, that would never happen. To trust God one more time to believe that God could do and wanted to do something really great and really wonderful to change lives forever. There's a cost involved in that. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is free. We know that. But I'm talking about consecration, holiness, service. We just use this term, being sold out. You ever use that term, I'm just sold out to this. I'm just sold out to this thing. Diane was talking to somebody the other day about something. Oh, she was talking about Dave Ramsey, and I said, she's done drunk the Kool-Aid. You know, I use that term when somebody's really, they've committed to something. It goes back to a bad thing, Jim Jones, but remember all those people drunk the Kool-Aid because he said you got to drink the Kool-Aid. But you see, when you get really committed and sold out to something, it doesn't really matter what the cost is involved because you want to just do it. Amen. Hey, I think about my brother. He's a great man. I love him to death. I do. Anything I could ask him for that he wouldn't, if it was in his power, he could do it. But he had all them race cars at one time. Y'all remember that? He had like 5 race cars. When Daddy passed away, he kind of lost interest in it. When Mama passed away, he really lost interest. Sold everything he had. Sold all his race cars. Sold his trailer. Sold his everything he had, his trucks and all that stuff. And then he got to looking around one day, and he went back and forth. He tried to sell the rest of his old parts and stuff and old tires laying around, stuff just hanging around as a constant reminder. Stuff that's hanging around as a constant reminder. Next thing I know, he's bought another old race car here and then another old race car there and then another old race car there. I said, what you doing, man? He said, well, I'll tell you what, I got to think, you know. He said, I can build another car and it ain't going to cost me a dime. He said, because I got all these parts I can't get rid of. And then I was up there one day, I guess a couple of years ago now, I was up there, and they was busy, man, on that Craigslist. By the way, Craigslist, I believe, a tool of the devil. I don't know about y'all. But Craigslist, he was on that Craigslist. I said, what are you trying to find now? What are you trying to buy now? He said, I want me a big enclosed trailer. I mean, he looks like he's going to Daytona every week. He's got this big enclosed trailer. I said, well, you get that big trailer, you're going to have to get a big truck to pull it with. Yeah, I know, I'm looking for one of them too. So he ended up, now he's got the big trailer. He's got the big truck, now he's got 2 race cars. Now he's easing his way back up. You see what I'm saying? Because it was the stuff hanging around as a constant reminder. He said, what are you trying to say, preacher? He's sold out to that thing. He's committed that thing. I mean, the other week when he was supposed to go to Kinley, North Carolina, I mean, he don't never go nowhere local hardly ever. He'd go somewhere like Kinley. He'll go down to Dillon, South Carolina. He goes up in Franklin County, Virginia. He's always going somewhere. I mean, it's a long way. Why does he do that, preacher? Because he's committed to it. He's sold out to it. It's something he enjoys doing. You see, I learned a long time ago, something I enjoy doing, I'm more apt to invest myself in it than stuff I don't enjoy doing. Hey, man, I do not enjoy gardening. I'm not really sold out to it. My wife is. Y'all might as well, me and might as well admit it. You're just like I am. But we was at camp meeting. We got ready to leave one day, and there's a great big bag of green beans there. Hey, you'll tell you how God works. You'll say, that's so silly, preacher. You think what you want to. I don't care. We walked by, there's a big bag of green beans there. There's a little sign there that says, please take me. There's green beans there and some cucumbers down. He said, you reckon that means I can take that? And she went to orange, too. I said, honey, I believe that means they want somebody to take them green beans. They probably got more than they want to mess with. She said, I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him home, and I'm going to can him. How many pints? How many did you wind up with? 12 pints. She thought she was going to have 4. Did you say 4 or 5? She sent me out to the building and said, go get me 4 jars, honey. She ended up 12 pints. A little bag of... She said, God done that. God did do that. Amen. Glory to God. God done that. Ain't no doubt about it. God done that. I didn't have nothing to do with it. Hey, we went down to the produce, big produce place down there. I said, let's go... So some people like to go to Walmart. My wife likes to go to the produce store. Let's go to produce. We'll go to the produce store. Got around there on the, you know, we buy our meat on the dead meat rack, and that's when it's to mark it down. We buy our produce on the dead produce rack. They had some corn there on the dead produce rack. She said, I'm getting that right there. She said, I'm going to take it back to the camper, and I'm going to go ahead and cook it and cut it off the cob and put it in the freezer in the camper. I said, whatever you want to do, fine with me. She got home. She got to work with. Got home. Got to the little house. She got it all put together. And she said, can we go back up there tomorrow and see if they got any more? She went back up there the next day, bought all the corn on, had on the dead vegetable rack. She got corn at the house. She done it now. She done canned up his corn. She done bagged up his corn. We got several meals of corn out of his corn. I mean, for just about nothing. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, if you sell out to God, God will meet the need somewhere along the line. Amen. Hey, my brother sold out to that thing, but it cost him every time he leaves the house. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you just drove 1,400 miles, you said, to go up there just to be sitting in a preaching meeting. And you could have went to China Grove and done the same thing. No, I couldn't have met the same people. Couldn't have had the same experience. Amen. Hey, I want to go do something for God. Amen. I'm sold out. I'm sold out to this thing. I'm sold into it and I'm sold out to it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me try to get in. I ain't even got started this morning. Let me try to get in this thing here. I seen this during the first Gulf War. Brother James, I'm not being critical this morning. I think you understand my heart. You've probably seen this too. A lot of people signed up for military service in the National Guard. And that they didn't realize that's more than just a title. You remember during the Gulf War, they was interviewing them on the news. And you was probably over there, but they was interviewing on the news every night. And they was interviewing these young people that had signed up for the National Guard because they wanted to get that college credit. And that's what some of them said. Said, I was signed up to get a college education. I didn't think I was going to have to go fight. Duh. See, a lot of people come down to make a profession of faith and they think they're going to get back in the house and they think they're going to get out of trouble and think all the bills are going to get paid and think everything's going to be okay, but they do not realize they have signed on to be a servant for Jesus. Now, there's a lot of folks that want to be saved, but they don't want to serve God. There's a history in the Word of God of God's choice servants having to go up a little bit higher. Think about Moses for just a moment. I mean, Moses had to go up on the mountain to meet with God. He had to go up higher. He had to go, be willing to go where other people wasn't going to go. He took chances other people wasn't willing to take. Amen? And then we see Elijah. He had to go up on a mountain to hear from God. Remember Elijah? He stood in the cave. Caves are on mountains, aren't they? And said, all these things happened. Said, and but God would, but a still small voice came. In other words, he had to go up on that mountain to meet with God. Hey, Christ was continually seen in the Word of God, going up on a mountain to pray. Amen. There's something about going up higher. And I got to thinking about going up higher with God, and I got to thinking about when I was headed up the road last Sunday afternoon. Boy, we got in some pretty big mountains. They weren't just hills. These were mountains. I mean, hey, these Beverly Hillbillies, man. I mean, these mountains, these are mountains. I mean, we got up in some places where you just couldn't see nothing for the trees. It's a lot different being out west. You can look out there and look a long ways away, and there's a little mountain out there somewhere. Look little until you get right there on it. Amen. But, I mean, you're right in the middle. I mean, you come out of, I don't know if any of you have ever been that way through 77, right before you get on West Virginia Turnpike. You go through a tunnel there called a Big Walker Mountain. Well, you're going downhill. You're either going uphill, you're going one way or the other. I can't remember. You're either going uphill, going a downhill one day. Anyway, when you come out on the other side, man, you're in deep woods. I mean, you in the mountains. You ain't in the hills no more. You ain't at Pilot Mountain. You ain't at Mount Airy. You in the mountains, friend. And I tell you what, when you go up to upstate New York, it just gets worse as the road goes on. Now, let me tell you this. I got to thinking about that thing. And I thought about some things I experienced that relates very closely to going up higher with God. Can I share about four things with you this morning? Please say amen right there. Now, let me tell you, number one, you want to go up higher with God, there's always some extra toil involved. You want to get higher with God, there's going to be some extra toil or some extra work involved. Hey, my old truck got to straining going up in mountains. I mean, that thing had to work. I mean, air traffic was heavy. It was some tough driving. I learned what it's like to get over in that far right-hand lane and ride with the big trucks. I mean, them big trucks that's running about 40 mile an hour going, and I was riding there with them. Hey, but I'll tell you what. Hey, there was some work involved. Hey, we wasn't on cruise control. We wasn't just riding along on the little Sunday afternoon drive. And my arthritis in my hands, and I'd have to switch hands, and I'd have to do that right there. And Diane said, are you going to make it, honey? Are you going to be okay? I said, yeah, I'll be all right. I said, boy, I'll tell you what, this is like work. I said, I either worry about the nuts in front of me and the nuts behind me. Amen. Can I tell you that I drove all around up in New York and never had no close call, and then I got back almost home in West Virginia and almost had three wrecks. Nobody blowed their horn at me in New York. Ain't you proud of me? I think folks were singing real loud in the cars because their mouth was moving, but I couldn't hear what they were saying. But I guess they figured that dumb redneck from North Carolina used to be blowing you. He's going to think you're waving at him. You blow your horn at him. Amen. Hey, we wasn't on no Sunday drive. Hey, you want to go up higher with God? You're going to have to strain a little. There's going to be a little bit of work involved. You know why a lot of people miss church on Sunday morning? They just decide not to come. Now, I've been working hard all week. I'm tired. I had to mow my grass yesterday. I had to do this. I had to do that. Well, big whoop. Do you think you're the only body that had something to do yesterday? There's a lot of people had something to do yet. Hey, there's a lot of stuff left undone at our house right now. It's just going to have to stay undone. This is God's day. Amen. Hey, I have to. You think it's easy for the pastor because he might not go out and work a public job like you do every week to say, well, he's got all the time in the world to read his Bible and study and prepare messages and get ready. You think so, do you? Hey, the same thing's got to be done at my house, got to be done at your house. Hey, man, I know a lot of these big churches has got a nice parsonage house, and they got a maintenance man that does all the work on the house, and got a man that cuts the grass, and they got a man that takes care of his cars. Ain't that way at the Foster house? Hey, this work, living for God's work, you got to be willing to work. He said, you see our good works. Has anybody seen any of your good works lately? Hey, you got to invest in this thing. Are you invested in this thing? Hey, I notice everywhere I go, people's investing in something. Well, there's a little card stuck on the door. This morning when we got, there's always some kind of card stuck on the door. A card stuck on the doorknob out there this morning. Somebody wanting to wrote on the card they want to give us something. But it's for a business that sells business machines. I know what they want to give us. They want to give you extended warranty on something if you spend about $5,000 to $10,000 on business. We don't need no business machines around here. We can't keep up the machines we got. Amen, right there. Hey, but I tell you this, are you willing to give up yourself for God? You see, that's what God wants. God just wants all of you. I see more and more people where God just got a little bit of them. I mean, that's all He's got, just a little bit. He's just got a little dab. He's just got a little bit. He really don't have nothing. You know, God wants all of you. What could God do if God had all of you? What could God do through you if He had all of you? Now, I'll tell you what, that's one of the greatest burdens in my life in these days we're living in right now is for me and my wife to be sold out 100% to God. And that's one of the greatest burdens I have on my heart today. If God would get, it wouldn't take a whole lot of folks. He'd just get a few folks just say, I'm just going to be sold out. Whatever God wants to do, that's what I'm going to do. And just go on for God and seek the will of God every day of their life. You'd be amazed what God would do in your life. There's always some extra toil involved. Number two, there's going to be an extra cost involved. We're talking about what does it cost to go higher? There's an extra cost involved. I had a little trouble when I got them West Virginia mountains. My truck wanted to start skipping a little bit. And I got thinking about that thing, and Brother Randy knows what I'm talking about, but it wasn't like an electric skip, it was like a fuel skip. I thought it was anyway, initially. I thought, you know, I've been putting that 10% alcohol gas in my truck at 87 octane. When I stop up here in West Virginia and get gas, I'm going to put some higher grade gas in it and see if it does better. Well, you know, high grade gas ain't $3.50 a gallon. I mean, it gets on up there toward $4 a gallon real quick. But you know what? I had to have it. Because I wasn't going to get where I was going putting that 87 octane in there. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I had to be willing to pay some extra because I wanted to go higher. You are you getting this morning? If just one person gets this, maybe to help somebody. Hey, I thought, well, it acts like the gas. It acts like my gas ain't good enough, so I put that higher grade gas in it. Guess what? It costs a lot more than that old regular gas we was getting in North Carolina. It's going to cost you extra to go higher with God. You know one thing I thought about it'll cost you? You're going to have to give up is that old lifestyle. You want to go higher with God, you're going to have to give up that old lifestyle. Hey, we're kind of like an old dog. We got an old dog at the house there. And we took him down to PetSmart and got him all tuned up the other week. Got his nails clipped, got him a bath, and got him vacuumed off because he sheds real bad. And they vacuumed him, put him in this little thing, his neatest thing I'd ever seen. Put him in this little thing and put a little harness on his head, and he had to stand there. And they had a thing like a shop vac with a brush on it, and they brushed him. They had a fellow sit there and brushed him for 30 minutes. Sucking that old hair off. Getting that old dead hair off. But you know something? That's been, about 3 weeks ago now, baby? Maybe? Guess what? He's starting to shed again now. You know why that is? Because his hair's still dying. Now, you know, I see a lot of Christians that have never sloughed off the old lifestyle. They've never started taking it off. You see, it's kind of like, I won't take his jacket off so bad right now. I'm about to roast. This is like fall. It is almost fall. Feels like fall weather this morning. It's not fall yet, but you don't know how to set things. We come in this morning, it was 72 degrees in here, but it was stuffy. So I turned the fans on, and it just got stuffier. So then I pushed the air conditioning down. So then people got cold. So then I had to push the air conditioning back up. You see, by the way, that's what Christian life is. You kind of got to be in constant, be able to change a little bit. Not compromise, but change a little bit, you know. But if I take his jacket off, if I was working outside at the house, you know how it is in the fall. You get out in the morning and it's cold. Maybe cutting wood, splitting wood. You go out, you kind of got a little bit of a jacket on, and you got a shirt, you got a t-shirt on under that. But then as it warms up in the day, you got to take that jacket off, man. You done started to sweat through your clothes, and you lay it to the side, right? As the day goes on, that shirt's got to come off. You lay it to the side. And it might be just naturally, as things go with men, you might just have to take that t-shirt off after a while because you just can't stand it no more. What you're doing is you're taking things off because they're hindering you from doing what you need. You know, that old lifestyle will hinder you from doing what you need to do for God. Hey, I see it happen so many times in people's lives. They think they can keep all the same old friends, go all the same old places, do all the same old things, still be a Christian, still come into the house of God. Now, they're still saved. Don't get me wrong. If they meant business with God, they're still saved. They're just never going to go up higher with God. God wants you to go up higher, amen? Hey, it's going to cost you that old lifestyle. It's going to cost you some family and some friends. You say, preacher, I hate it when you say it's going to cost my family. Well, it's true. You might as well face the fact. Is all your family pulling in the same direction with you? If it is, you're a strange bird, I'll tell you that. Because I don't believe I know any family where everybody's pulling in the same direction. When it comes to God, comes to serving God, I'm talking about every member of the family sold out, pulling in the same direction, going for God, going on big guns for God. I don't see it very often. It's going to cost some family. It's going to cost some friends. Now, if you tell me today, well, all my friends believe just like I do, all in good Bible preaching churches, every one of them's in church this morning serving God, living for God, I would kind of doubt it, unless you just got one or two friends. I got friends. I talked to a fellow the other day. Me and my wife bumped into him in the Walmart. He ain't in church nowhere this morning. He ain't give the first thought to being in church. He'll think about church when he's getting ready to die. He'll think about church when he's young and his mama gets sick, his mama dies, something like that. That's when they'll be calling, just like always. But he's got no concern to be in the house of God, but he's my friend. If I needed him today for something, I could call him and he'd be there. He's my friend, but we can't say we serve God together. It might cost you a job. It might cost you a home. You say, well, wait a minute, I ain't going to give up my job to serve God. Well, you might have to. You ought to at least give it some thought, amen. You can't fill your life up with the same old useless junk you did while you was lost. That's what I'm trying to say. There's some cost involved in this thing about going higher with God. Third thing is there's going to be some extra preparation involved. Now, I couldn't start off on such a trip without the right truck. You realize that? You got to have the right truck to do the right job. Now, we just ain't delivering pizzas. We're pulling about 9,000 pounds. And for you folks that don't understand, that's a lot. I mean, we're not running around out here with 5 pounds of nails in the back and saying, boy, we're hauling a load today. No, we got a load. You got to have the right truck to do that. Hey, I've seen a lot of cars and trucks broke down on the side of the road. Me and my wife, it happened just seconds before we got there because he passed me. But it was a real nice Jeep. I mean, it was almost,
If Daniel was here, he'd know exactly what I was talking about. It was almost a rock crawler. That's what it was. I mean, it was fixed up. Man, this was an expensive machine. And I seen up the road, and I seen that Jeep sitting there, and there was a lot of smoke coming out under the hood. And that thing did not run hot, Brother James. It blowed the bottom of the engine out. There was motor parts all over the road. I mean, it was just like being seen where a race car blowed up. I mean, it is oil everywhere. That thing just blowed. It blowed up. But if I hooked the wrong truck to my camper, they'd do the same thing with it. Because it couldn't stand the load. It couldn't stand the work that would be involved. Hey, there's going to be some extra preparation. I see a lot of them little electric cars these days. Lord have mercy. Every now and then I get behind one. I say, his battery must be getting loaded. Well, he's plooping along. Hey, but you see, if you got something like that, you better not plan on going very high. You better not go out west for one. I don't make me any place to plug nothing in out there. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of Christians willing to stay in the lower places of Christianity. See, I told Diane the other day, I said, you know, your little car, I said, you don't hardly drive your little car at all anymore. We really don't. Hardly drive our little car, but we use it for what we use it for. See, we used to every house had two or three extra cars sitting in the yard. Do you remember them days? I mean, you get something else and you keep that old one. We'll keep that one. We use that one. My daddy used to say, my rainy day car, you know. He had a rainy day car and he had his nice car. That's my rainy day car. That's my dirt road car. That's my go to the racetrack car. If somebody runs into that one, hits it, I won't cry too hard. You know, we always had something extra. You don't do that these days. It costs too much. Tags, insurance, taxes, all that stuff, man, it drives crazy. Gasoline, everything else. Hey, but the thing about this, hey, look here. There's a lot of people willing to put around in the lower parts of Christianity instead of going up higher with God. You see, them little smart cars, I think, man, we was up there, we had to meet somebody one day, man, I mean, these two, man, they come down the road, and it looked like two little thumbs sticking up in there. I mean, just two big heads sticking up in there. And that man got out of that car, and I said, great day, how in the world he fit in that car? I said, how you drive that thing? I'm not trying to be cruel. How you drive that thing all day? You're a big man. He's a big man. I said, how you drive that thing all day long? He said, well, I'm saving so much on gas. See, that's the way a lot of Christians are. I say, how do you manage to live and do the way you do and still call on the name of Christ? Really what they're saying is, but really it ain't cost me nothing doing it this way. Y'all get that? Hey, if we're willing to go higher, you're going to need to spend some more time in prayer. You got to spend some more time in study. You got to spend some more time in witnessing. You have to be willing to prepare your life for some Mount Sinai moments. Amen. See, Elijah didn't want. Hey, Elijah, you think Elijah wanted to stay down at that brook? Amen. He wanted to stay down in the valley, where the brook. But the brook dried up. The angel quit cooking, and the brook dried up. He had to go up in the mountain to hear from God. Now, amen. Hey, your brook's going to dry up one of these days. Them angels are going to quit cooking and providing for you one of these days. You better be willing to go up higher. Amen. Fourth thing is, and I'm done in a minute, there's going to be decisions made that will affect you in the long run. There's going to be decisions that are going to have to be made that will affect you in the long run. Now, when that truck started skipping going up that first big mountain, my wife didn't have to say a word. She knew exactly what was going through my mind. You know what I was thinking about? Y'all know what I was thinking about. Maybe we ought to turn around now before we get too far. We went to Indiana one time, had old raggedy work van. I know y'all would never appreciate no raggedy work vans. You've seen the work vans I had. People see me coming down the road. Nobody ever pulled out in front of me. You know why? Because they'd see me coming and say, that redneck coming, y'all ain't got a lick of insurance. I am not pulling out in front of him. He's going to hit me just as sure as the world. He probably ain't got no brakes. I mean, I'd get stopped. They just knew I was drunk. And they just looked at my van. They just knew I was drunk, you know. And hey, here's a man... Some of y'all know with painter whites on, the ladders all over the top of the work van. See my van coming. That's got to be a drunk painter going there. And they get close. They'd run my tag. They'd know it was me. Then they'd let me go. Hey, let me tell you this. I mean, I had an old raggedy work van. And my youngest about hypothermiated in the back of that thing. And because the window was leaking so bad. And I said, oh, it feels good back here. Y'all know what you're talking about. I had to stop over in West Virginia, duct tape the window shut because they was about to freeze to death back here. But anyway, when I went through that big Walker Mountain, listen to me now. It was raining on one side. When I went through the other side, guess what? The The ground was white with snow. She didn't say a word. She knew what was going through my mind. He's going to turn around and go back home now. I just kept going. I fooled her. I fooled her Sunday evening too. She didn't say nothing about the truck skipping. She felt it. She heard it. We got up that first hill and it leveled off. I said, I sure didn't like the sounds of that. She said, I didn't either. But we didn't have to say a word. We just kept going higher. We just kept going higher. You know what God wants you to do this morning? He don't want you to turn around and go back. Amen? Hey, I had to make that decision. I could turn around and go back where I started off at. I could just keep on going higher. I made adjustments and I just kept going higher. You know, when it comes to the Christian life, you're going to have to make some decisions that's going to affect the outcome. What was the outcome? Boy, I got refreshed. Boy, I got to meet some good brothers and sisters in Christ. Got to meet some old friends, amen? Went to a little bitty place called Niagara Falls and seen some water running over a hill. Hey, I saw some wonderful things. Saw some things I'll probably never get to see again. Hey, it's a wonderful place. I enjoyed going up there, amen? It's good to be back. But I enjoyed going up there. And if I could do it without going to Pennsylvania, maybe I'd find a way to go around Pennsylvania next time. But I thought, man, what a wonderful opportunity. Why? Because I just decided I'm going to keep going higher. You know what? It's been that way in my Christian life. And I've seen God do some amazing, wonderful things. You know why? Because I'm willing to just keep going. There's a lot of places. There's a lot of times. There was a lot of times over these last 15 years when I thought, you know, I believe I'll just turn around and go back. You know, I think I'll just turn around and go back. I think I'll go back out to Tabernacle and just move my membership back out there and just sit back down and try to help my pastor all I can. I believe that's what I'll do. I thought about that. The devil told me I ought to do that. Lots of times. I mean, every time I'd see my family suffering, and I'd see my family being persecuted and ridiculed. And by the way, you can come out to me all you want to, but you leave my wife and my young'uns alone. You leave them out of this. If you don't like something I preach, you come see me. Don't you dare tell my wife about it. You come talk to me about it. And I've been out here, you running my family down, because I will get you, and it'll be worse than knocking your mailbox down. But I thought many times, when some of them things like that had happened, I'm just going to go back. I'm turning around. I'm going to go back. And I am praying. God said, just go higher. Just go higher. Just go higher. I got to get done here. How bad do you want to go higher? That's what it amounts to, isn't it? You see, I could have turned around in West Virginia and come back, and I could have done it. And Brother James, there wouldn't have been no shame in that. I could have come back, and I could have unhooked everything, could have took all the stuff out of the camper, put it right back in the house. We didn't buy nothing special. We just took our food with us, just whatever we was going to eat in Davis Road, we put in the camp. I could have put all that food back in there. I could say, well, you know, that's what's here. It just wasn't meant to be, I guess. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. But you know what I learned? If God meant for me to go to New York last Sunday afternoon when I left, God meant for me to go all the way. Hey, if God meant for you to dig in and settle in and serve God, that's what God meant. He ain't changed His mind. He ain't going to change His mind. He ain't going to change His mind a bit. And boy, I was coming up the road Friday afternoon late, and that truck got to cutting up. I mean, it was running good when we left out New York on the true way. We was on the true way going down through there. Hey, I'll say this. I don't mind paying to drive on good roads. I don't mind paying to drive on. I have never mind paying to drive on West Virginia Turnpike, one of the best roads you'll ever drive on, but the New York Thruway is better than it. It's like driving on silk sheets compared to going through Pennsylvania. But, hey, let me say this right here. Hey, I had to get there. This is what God wanted me to do. You know what? I could have turned around. Wouldn't have been no shame in it. I could have come back. Could have been here on Wednesday night. Said, Brother James, I know I asked you. You just go ahead. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to enjoy myself. You go ahead. Had to come back. Didn't mean to, but I had to come back. Wouldn't have been no shame in that. It wouldn't have been no embarrassment in that. But you know, that isn't what God meant for us. God wants us to go higher. Now, listen here. But if you're willing, to go higher, let me tell you some things. If you're willing to go higher, what's going to happen? Listen to me real close. If you're willing to go higher, you're going to be able to see farther, and you'll be able to get above your troubles. You see, when you get up on top of those mountains, you can see a long ways away. You know, I noticed when you're down in the valley, it's hard to see what's going on. I mean, when you're going up, it's hard to see what's going on. You just see what's right in front of you. But when you get on top, it's amazing what you'll see. I mean, I was telling my wife, I said, can you believe that? Can you believe what we're seeing? I mean, we saw acres and acres and acres of grapevines. We got our, hey, let me tell you. Hey, God's even got some divine detours. God's even got some divine detours. You say, what are you getting at now? Hey, let me give you a little illustration. God's got divine detours in your Christian life. This is what happened to us. Got on that throughway. I let myself run out of gas. I let myself run low on gas. Got in there and I asked the fellow there to give me that little ticket. And everybody's nice to me because they tell I didn't know where I was. I said, I got to get some gas. He said, you can go down here 10 miles, get off, and go down there, and there's gas right there in that little town. No problem. I said, okay, good deal. Thank you. So I got down there, and I got off, and I went around there, and I mean, here's this little rinky-dink. I mean, it looks like an Underwood store. But smaller. I said, well, I got to have some gas. I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. But you know what? I committed to it. Come on now. I committed to it, and I pulled in there. And guess what was right in front of us when we pulled in there? Just right through some trees. Lake Erie. We seen a lot of Lake Erie. But guess what was right there? Not 50 yards out of the parking lot behind some trees. A stone lighthouse. And the inch-high paparazzi over here, I said, look what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to pull right, and I'm getting my gas, and I'm scouting. How am I going to get out of here? And I got around, and I looked and peeked around the corner, and guess what? It's a little side street, just made a little circle right around the back of the store. And no problem. Got my gas, pulled out. I told Inch High Private Eye, I said, get out and walk up there and take you some pictures. She said, I can take them from right here. I said, you might not ever get to see this again. That was one of God's divine detours. Amen? Hey, if you're willing to go higher, you're going to see things you'll never see again. You'll see things other people don't get to see. Now, let me give you a couple more things real quick here. You'll see things that others won't get to see. You'll be able to see how everything's falling out. In other words, you'll be able to see the end. You say, I don't understand why people get along. Some people get along so good, and good people is trying to do right get along so bad and have so many troubles. Don't feel bad. David felt the same way. David said it perplexed him. He said, I couldn't understand until I went to the house of God, and then I understood the end of the wicked. In other words, you get higher, you'll be able to see. You know, when I got higher, you know, when I got there, and I got there, and you know, you go to strange places, and you don't know how people's going to receive you, and you don't know how people's going to treat you. And man, as soon as I walked in there, the first preacher I met, the one that was moderating the meeting, he said, you must be John Fawcett. He said, I have been wanting to meet you for years. I thought, this man don't even know me. I've drove 700 miles, and there's a man that acts like he's been waiting to see me for the last 10 years. They've been inviting me to come there for 10 years, and this man acted like he could not wait to meet me. You say, why'd that happen, preacher? Because we went higher. I could have turned around in West Virginia. I could have turned around in Virginia. I could have turned around at Pilot Mountain. Guess what? God said, go higher. God said, go higher. God said, go higher. The third thing is you'll be able to see the real need for this world when you get higher. What's the real need for this world, souls? What's the real need for this world? For you to be in the will of God? What's the real need for this world? For you just to cast aside these things and go higher with God. Anytime you go up higher, there's going to be some doubting time. I'm going to give you this real quick and I'm done. There's going to be some doubting times. There was times that honestly, as Brother Larry would say, I was scared. There's times I was scared more than a little. I'm going to be honest with you now. There's times I was scared more than a little. Hey, I got scared. I got to having some second thoughts there once or twice. You get to climbing them mountains up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. When you're going up, you got to make sure there's cars in front of you is far enough ahead of you so you're not going to have to overtake them because you surely ain't going to be able to pass them. Hang with me now. When you start down the other side, you got to make sure that the ones in front of you is running fast enough because you ain't going to be as slow down like you driving a car going down the hill. And I mean, I got a cramp in my right leg. It's bad to get a cramp in your right leg when you're the one driving. I got a cramp in my right leg. And, you know, I started having second thought, man, did I do the right thing? But I knew God said to go higher. I'm just trying to go higher. Let me tell you what else happened. Well, you're going to laugh now. I went through some toll booths. There's some mighty tight squeezes. That first one I went through, I thought I was still in a car. That first one I went through, I thought I was still in a car. I had like that much room on each side. I ain't joking. I ain't speaking evangelistically. I mean, it was like that close on each side. I mean, even the toll booth man stuck his head out and was looking. But see, I learned after that, go through the one that says wide load. Go through the one over there on the side that says, where the big truck go. Just go through the one that says the wide load, and you'll be okay. Amen. I went through them tunnels. People was flying by me in them tunnels. And I'm thinking, I'm about to scrape the side of my camper house off on the side over here on these rocks, and you want to race me through the tunnel. I started having second thoughts, right? Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hey, I'm giving you a practical illustration of something that really happened in my life. Can you not apply this to your Christian life? Ain't it been times when you said, man, that was a tight squeeze. What was I thinking about when I did that right there? Oh, that was awful. How in the world? How did I get myself in this shape? You got yourself in that shape because God said, go higher. Amen. I had to pull over a time or two because storms was too bad. Hey, they don't put lines in the road in Pennsylvania. I think the bumps eat the lines. We pulled over and we slept in a rest area. Only thing I can say kind about Pennsylvania is they got nice rest areas. We put on a rest area and slept Sunday night. Got up. I set my fire truck. Well, I got my alarm on my phone. That fire truck. Diane said, that thing will wake the dead. I said, that's the whole idea. We got up at 5 o'clock. Got up at 5 o'clock. Started down the road. We hadn't got no more than 30 minutes down the road. And the bottom fell out. And I couldn't see the road. And I mean, there was so much mist coming off the trucks and all, and you couldn't even see really who was in front of you, who was around you, where you was, nothing else. And God bless us, God kept us safe. We went, it's 40 miles between rest areas. We got up to that next rest area. I said, I can't see the road. I got to stop. I got to wait until it gets daylight or it quits raining or one or the other or both would be nice. And we sit there. But I had to stop. There's going to be times when you're going higher with God when you're just going to have to stop for a little while. And God's got divine stops and divine starts. He's got divine detours. Amen. So look here. Hey, there was a lot of traffic. There's going to be a lot of people when you first start out. You know, when I got in Pennsylvania, it wasn't as much traffic. The higher I got, the less traffic I had to deal with. That's the way it is going on for God. You're going to find times you're going to be by yourself. It may just be you and your wife. Everybody else looks like, why ain't they coming with us? They just decided to put her around in the valley. That's why. Go higher with God. Go higher with God. I noticed there's more folks coming down than there was going up. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. There's a lot more coming down than there is trying to go up. And a lot of people go so far, they turn around and come back down. They said, this didn't turn out to be what I thought it was going to be. I can't do it. I can't stand it. There's people that used to sit on the pews at this church, and they've decided they just can't do it. They don't want to do it. It's not that they can't do it. They don't want to do it. They just made a conscious decision. I've done this, gone as far as I'm going to go. I'm satisfied where I am. I'm going to turn around and go back down. I've seen enough of this. You know, I've never seen enough. I'm still not seen enough. I mean, I've still not seen enough of what God wants. I really hadn't. I mean, I every time I think about it, and I think God's done doing stuff, God does something else just to remind me that He's God, and He ain't done doing stuff yet. Amen? Are you willing to pay the price? Let me tell you one thing real quick. I'm done. Laura, you can get ready. I'm finished. If you decide to go down, it's going to still be rough. You know what I learned coming back? I told my truck, Mr. Ed, how he says, Wilbur. That's what I was calling my old truck, Wilbur. I said, Wilbur, come on, Wilbur. I talked to my truck, you know. You say, you talk to your truck, you really are touched. You don't talk to your, you didn't name your vehicles. You got to name it. High outs don't know who you talking to. And I was coming back and I said, and every time I'd go over a hill, I said, I think we're over the worst of them, Wilbur. And then a mile or two down the road, there'd be another bad one. And it was almost like he was looking back at me and saying, you don't know what you're talking about. But when I come over Pilot Mountain, I said, Wilbur, you're home free now, baby. You're home free now. But you know what I'm trying to say is, when I was coming back down, I still had dangers. When I was coming back down, I still had to buy fuel. When I was coming back down, honey, we still had the traffic to deal with. When I was coming back down, I noticed something when I was coming back down. There was people in front of me that didn't know whether they wanted to go up or they wanted to go down. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. There's a lot of people today, they don't know whether they want to go up, they don't know whether they want to go down. They don't know whether they want to stay down here and just puddle and muddle around in the valley, or they want to go higher with God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. I've tried to preach my heart. I've given you some little practical.